sang out a song of the soul.
And we sing this song. Why don't you sing along? And we can sing.
Music has an incredible ability to proclaim the soul's language beyond what mere words can speak. That is what we seek as we invite our guests to share their song of the soul. Be it joy and laughter, sorrow and tears, awe and insight, or deepest devotion, as we visit and listen, we are all part of a spiritual voyage called Song of the Soul. We've got something different today for Song of the Soul. Nick Foytek brings with him music deeply marinated in blues, soul, and rock and roll. Something not so common in Wisconsin's North Woods, where Nick grew up. Nick has been building his chops for some 20 years, and yet it's really only the past few years that he's really launched his music career full scale, still focused mostly in the upper Midwest. In addition to his solo gigs and those with his Nick Foytek band, he continues to work as a guitar for hire. Expect to be delighted by his bluesy songs and finger guitar artistry as Nick Foytek joins us from Eau Claire, Wisconsin via Zoom. Nick, so good to have you here today for Song of the Soul.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Pretty busy life you got going on. I was looking on your site and seeing all the spots where you've got concerts going up, where you're performing. Does this wear you out or does this energize you?
A little bit of both. There's occasions where it's kind of wears you down and you got to take a couple days to recharge. But overall, it's pretty rewarding to just keep moving.
Your latest album is About Time. And I say your latest, I think it's your only album, but I could be wrong about that. You've been playing guitar for more than 20 years. You're writing songs, but About Time comes out the beginning of this last year. So what took you so long?
Well, this is my second, actually. I did write an album. It was in 2014. I released it. It's called Up and Down Stream. So it did take a little while between the first one and the second one. There were a lot of life things that happened during that time. One of the major ones was after I released the first album, I left my job and pursued music full time. At that time, there's, you know, you got to build just about everything. You got to build your roster of places you're playing at so you can keep moving. You know, I had to build a little bit of my musical vocabulary. It's easier to speak with other musicians and stuff like that. We were moving around a few times. We settled down with a house. All that happened between the first and second one. And then for the second one, it took a while to put together About Time. Most of the reason behind that, I was ready to record going into early 2020, but then 2020 was 2020. I mean, I've heard of artists that are still within the past 6 months released their music that they intended to put out pre-pandemic or going into 2020. That really delayed stuff. It changed the recording process from wanting to record in a studio. I had everything kind of set up and then that all kind of went away. I ended up shifting gears. I ended up recording it at home. Again, a learning curve. It's a big exercise in taking deep breaths and just letting things run its course. Eventually, it kind of made it out.
When I asked you music for today's Song of the Soul, you didn't include any songs that I think are from that first album, the Up and Down Stream. Why is that? Because those are too far in the past, or maybe you've forgotten them by now?
No, I play them quite a bit yet, but I just wanted to include some of the newer songs. I think that maybe some of the newer songs may have matched that. I think I took a little more time introspectively writing and stuff like that. I think the second album was maybe geared towards a little more of like trying to take at least an adventure into moving away from, I guess, not simple, but like basic but like a simpler term of songs and move into like maybe something with a little more insight. I was trying to challenge myself and trying to write a little bit outside of a box of like even like the chord progressions and stuff. Some of them are not things I normally would do. I was just trying to branch out a little farther than the first album is dominantly a blues album. So there's a lot of the typical blues progressions and stuff like that. And I was just trying to move a little bit away from that.
So how did a good northern Wisconsin guy get into blues? It just doesn't seem native to the soil here.
You know, I've been thinking about that a lot lately. Anything I really listened to when I was growing up always kind of had that element in it. We only had a few radio stations. My music sources were a couple department stores that were around in the area. And that was 20 to 40 mile radius of where I grew up. We didn't have MTV, none of that. So I was still like, in some way, still grabbing music that like just always kind of caught my ear. And anything that always kind of caught my ear, it ended up being kind of blues oriented, rock and roll and stuff like that. Eventually, it just kind of like I slowly gravitated towards it. Some bigger moments when I was a teenager listening to, I guess, Nirvana, the Unplugged album. They closed with a Lead Belly tune. Just the dark atmosphere of that tune really kind of got to me. So I searched out for Lead Belly. Shortly after hearing about Lead Belly, I heard about Robert Johnson. So I started searching out for him. I had a Lead Belly album and a Robert Johnson album in my collection when I was probably still a teenager. So those albums just kind of always floated around. And then as I got into, I don't know, I'd always listen to older music, still listen to popular music, but I was interested in the Beatles, interested in Led Zeppelin and stuff like that. Led Zeppelin took a bunch of songs from other people. So once you start kind of reading into that, finding those people, or having a Robert Johnson album and listening to some of the lyrics in the Zeppelin albums, being like, well, those are just Robert Johnson lyrics. But you just go deeper with that. It's all kind of been on my own recourse. There were a few people. I had a friend that actually dumped a whole load of Grateful Dead CDs on me, live CDs, along with some, I think there was some Howlin' Wolf and definitely John Lee Hooker in there and stuff like that too. Mississippi John Hurt was in this collection. He just dumped off this pile. I mean, it was a box of stuff. And he's like, when I want it back, I'll ask for it. Until then, run with it.
Well, this is a good friend.
He's a great friend. Yes. Bill Ball is his name. So great friend. And he always dumped me really good music. He always just piled it out, kept it piling it on me. So I always had something new to listen to and always had something to like decipher what I liked a little bit more than other stuff.
But I also get the sense, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I've seen you in person one time, right? And I only got to listen to a very small part of what you performed then. But I suspect that Nick Wojtek is comfortable being off the beaten path, being different than the other people around him. This is a wild conjecture on my part, perhaps. But, you know, when you're in school, are you willing to be different than your classmates in your community, in your work? Are you willing to be off the beaten path that way as opposed to maybe you don't even love Taylor Swift? I don't know.
I haven't listened to enough Taylor Swift to even know. So to be honest, but yeah, I listen to my own stuff. The number one thing you can do as a listener and especially as a player to discern for yourself what you like and what you don't like.
And does that extend to other areas of your life as well? What you wear as clothes or where you like to have fun, what sports you like or not? Or do you just follow the regular regimen of the United States of watching football every Sunday? You know what I mean? There's so many ways that we can go off the beaten path.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I was raised a Packer fan and that was instilled in me before I was old enough to make decisions. So that's just there.
But you were also raised a Catholic and you left that path.
Yes, but that's not going to go away. You know, I mean, I look at stuff reasonably, though. Like, it's not easy to watch football because I played football, but it's pretty violent sport, you know? So it's things like that are hard to watch. But generally, I guess I just do what I want to do, you know, but that's the thing is like if you brush sleeves with something that's popular, that doesn't necessarily mean you're selling yourself or like haven't challenged yourself in that aspect. I mean, that's just who I am, no matter what. Certain things are just who I am, you know, growing up Catholic. I think I had a lot of questions, period, with it all the way through. But nothing's ever made me want to be a Viking fan or a Bears fan. I've never had questions about not being a Packer fan.
You know, you said you got into doing the music full time along the way. You quit your job. What was your job before playing for the Bears?
No.
You were a football player.
Yeah. I worked in kitchens. I mean, the typical musician thing. I worked in kitchens for a number of years. The last job I had before I left was I was working at a pawn store. They kind of nosed me out, but I was also kind of like half in, half out anyway. It just kind of seemed like the timing was right to move on, do something else.
We better get started with your music, Nick. There's a lot to talk about, but I really think people need to hear your particular implementation on the blues end of the world. What's first?
Well, let's talk about On My Way, since we were talking about hometowns and stuff like that, I guess.
First line of the song is, spare me your salvation, I don't need it. Who were you talking to when you wrote that line?
It's just a commentary on, I guess, American life in a in a general way, you know, like whether it's religious indoctrination or you go and either get out of high school and get that job for the next 40 years indoctrination. And, you know, you play all your cards right. And when you're in your 60s, you may be able to go somewhere and visit a different place, you know, or something like that. That stuff, you know, you spend that time in like elementary, middle, high school, small town community. When school, it's cliques, and adult life, it's the same thing, but they don't call it that, you know. That's just basically kind of what that means. I don't need any of your pre-canned ways to live. I'm going to do my own thing.
Let's listen to a song by Nick Wojtek. Again, nickwojtek.com is his website. The song is On My Way.
I don't need it. Got my own life to live. I'm gonna keep it. Yeah, I got my own road. I'm bound to roam. And there ain't nothing you can say to keep me round. Staying just might put me in the ground. Gotta do it for my soul. Farewell, my friends. Don't know if I'll be back this way again. Cause rolling stones, they don't gather moss for long. Thank you.
ramble. I ain't nothing but a nomadic mammal living on the move. It's all right by me. I need my tires on an open road. Need to feel a little lost when I got no place else to go, yeah.
Got Nick Wojtek here today with us for Song of the Soul. Again, his website, nickwojtek.com, is on northernspiritradio.org in case you want to track it down. That whole spelling discussion we had might have confused you more than anything, but that's his song, On My Way, from his album, About Time, which is only released, you know, last year. I want you to take a guess, my favorite line out of that song.
You tell me.
I'm nothing but a nomadic mammal.
I
love that line.
It was like the last thing that came to the song, actually. Toyed around with 18 other things there, or 30 other things there. And eventually, like one afternoon, it was that, you know.
This actually relates to what I was asking you earlier. I said, I have this impression of you as being one to go your own path. And this song is actually a perfect example of it. It's like, no, don't give me your salvation. Don't put your stuff on me. I got to do it my way. And so you wrote a song about it. It seems to me, from the music I've listened to of yours, there's a special love affair between your fingers and the guitar. You know, I learned some guitar along the way, but I only really learned to strum. I did just a very small amount of picking. It seems to me that the fingers and the guitar lead you to the rest of your music, not the other way around. Am I making that up?
There's a lot of songs. I mean, I even have songs right now that are just kind of sitting, waiting for some lyrics. So, yeah, I guess, I mean, there's a lot of times it's a little bit easier for me to write the music. There was a period of time, even during my first album, I was making it, that I really started learning theory after I wrote that album. It ended up just kind of being a big confirmation of, oh, that's why I put that chord there, you know, and stuff like that. So it was a lot of like following my ear I was completely self-taught as a player. I spent a lot of time listening to my grandpa play. He played accordion. He played harmonica. All the brothers kind of had a little band when they get together, and he'd play in polka bands and stuff like that. But even him, he played a lot by ear, was the most of his learning as far as playing is concerned. All the brothers could really play, really had that sense of like tone and being able to carry the melodies and convey the emotions and stuff like that. So I guess my first musical experiences were more that, you know, and the idea of like kind of being able to be taken away, listening to that music, you know, that was instilled in me in a very, before I went to school, I mean, that stuff was instilled in me. So then by the time, you know, my folks are adding their type of music that they like, and I'm playing some guitar, I'm self-taught, I'm just really following my ear, you know, and really trying to just play things emotionally appropriate, I guess, more or less. In that sense, I think I practiced or worked on that end of stuff, maybe more than like a writing end of. Naturally, that's kind of the stuff that comes first. And then I sometimes catch up with the writing.
When you were talking about some of your influences before, you're talking about something that you admire and that's influential for you. You said it's kind of dark. I mean, blues has this tinge. I mean, it's called blues for a reason, but that doesn't necessarily mean negative. Where are you in life? Are you an optimist, pessimist? Are you one of the upbeat, let's go, smiley people? Are you kind of like, give me some time off, folks? What's Nick Wojtek like?
Nick Wojtek is a Libra, so I'm kind of middle of the road, but I try to be an optimist. I try to hang on the optimist end of things, try to see every side of something, try not to make conclusions about stuff, you know, before seeing the human end of stuff. Very indecisive when it comes time to eat sometimes, you know, but other things, you know, like when I'm looking at issues that comes into play, becomes really helpful. Just trying to sit in the middle ground and see different perspectives. I think it helps with the songwriting aspect. I also think it kind of hinders with the songwriting aspect. Sometimes you may be like trying to be the writer and you may be trying to be the critic at the same time. And that's been a difficult thing, is to shut off that critic and, you know, not have that balance where I'm like towing the middle of the road, because that may stand in the way of getting some really good stuff out.
Well, speaking of getting some more good stuff out, let's share another of your songs.
I guess maybe it's not the way it should be.
A contrarian point of view, right? You said you don't have a lot of strong opinions. You stay in the middle of the road. Give me one of your strong opinions, though.
I guess, like, based with this song, is just that, and this is, again, folds back into where the middle of the road kind of helps out, but, you know, it's not the way it should be. Kind of just talks about these hard situations that people are in, and oftentimes our civilization shake our finger at these people in these situations. But in the end, I mean, they're people that got to a situation. And I guess that's maybe a strong opinion I have is, in my opinion, there's not enough of like looking at every situation, the humanness of the situation, and maybe more looking at it as like, oh, they did bad, you know, the social construct of like they fell off the wheel of like the social expectations, instead of viewing it as like they're having a hard time keeping up with it. We tend to like as a society maybe kick people when they're down.
So I think what you're saying is that you've got a strong judgment against those people who are judgmental of other people.
Yeah, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's a judgment against people. I think it's a judgment against what the societal norms are. I had a few years back where I actually got into an unfortunate situation and I made some unfortunate choices, inappropriate choices, and I ended up getting an OWI out of it. Being in Wisconsin, getting an OWI is not the most uncommon thing. It's not an appropriate thing, but we drink a lot in Wisconsin.
Nick, I come from a family of 12 kids. My mom died drunk driving. My dad, the same night, completely independent, had a car accident where he almost killed someone drunk driving, completely separate from my mom. And about half of my 12 siblings have DWIs, OWIs. So I know all about that stuff. And so, yeah, it's kind of commonplace, in fact.
And as common as it is, and if you bring it up to somebody, they don't necessarily view it as in like you got in a bunch of trouble, but the road to get back, to just get your license back and to go through that and pay the fine. I mean, the road to just that alone, one little thing, the road to go through all that, the stigma that people treat it with. And a lot of the stigma that I encountered were from the people who you're like paying money to help. They're just kind of looking very strict with you, very short with you. it's not like I'm, you know, I'm court mandated to do this thing, to go to this thing where I'm supposed to meet with a group of people. We're supposed to talk about, you know, irresponsible choices and all that. But the people on the outside that you're paying for this service, whether it's court mandated or not, you're paying for this service still out of your own free will, because you could just be like, I'm not going to do this and I'm going to just drive anyway. And people do. But the way that they made it such an uphill battle. And like I said, it was especially the helpers, the people who are there to be the helpers, were like kind of the most judgmental people along the way. I understand that they're supposed to critique your habits and stuff like that, but it seemed like I was just like faced up against just a lot of just judgmental action, which was, it made the uphill battle and it made all that stuff that I had to do like that much harder to do. It's not so much an individual. It kind of seems like it's a societal thing where you're just like, well, you did that to yourself. But like that creates a situation to like repeat over and over.
Right.
I just want to make clear that I've dealt with it like a touch of it. You know, like some of the things I even bring up in the song, it's not the way it should be. I mean, like verse one is more about, you know, some social divides. It could be race. It could be income divides. It could be, you know, any of those divides where obviously there's a group with privilege and there's a group without. And the group with privilege, they're ahead of the race. I mean, like one of the verses is about addiction and how it's hard to try to get moving. If you're at rock bottom, I mean, there's nobody there for you. There's a lot of reasons why that may be justified or not, but it's hard to start from the bottom of the bottom and be able to try to climb yourself out of it. And then one of the verses is about a single mom dealing with all that. I mean, I can't even imagine. We live in a society where even the government doesn't want to give you a choice on whether you should make a responsible choice over having the kid or not, let alone when you have them. It's like, well, it's all your problem. Like, I'm going to do everything I need to do to make sure you have that kid. And then the second you birth that kid, it's all your problem. I'm going to wash my hands of it. It's hard stuff. I don't feel fortunate if other people are sitting in this unfortunate situation. It doesn't make me feel good to be fortunate personally.
And all of that leads us to a song by Nick Wojtek. It's called It's Not the Way It Should Be. He just released it last year on About Time. Take a deep breath now, and let's all work together to make this world a better place. It's not the way it should be.
When they count you out before the game begins, you can hold your own for a little while. Ain't nobody gonna help you when it's gotta make it hard to get up every day. It should be.
I'd say, Nick, that that song is a pretty good indication that one of your fundamental values is compassion. It's not the way it should be. Some people say, well, that's their problem. I'm not going to pay attention to it. Obviously, you do pay attention to it. The way I met Nick Wojtek, by the way, folks, is he was performing. He was one of two performers at a benefit concert for Jonah. Jonah is something here in the Chippewa Valley of Wisconsin, joining our neighbors, Advancing Hope. It's multiple faith communities linked to try and make this world better. And so they do address things like ex-prisoners when they get out, or environment, or equal rights, or violence, and so on. So they're dealing with a number of these issues. Did you sign up to do that benefit concert out of the good of your heart?
Yeah. You know, there's a set. I mean, I like the whole thing that Jonah presents. So it was good to be a part of it.
Also performing alongside Nick, or right after him, was Dead Horses. And I've interviewed both of the principal partners in the band Dead Horses. And you can find those out on NordenspiritRadio.org. You can find a whole lot of things. I've been doing this program, Song of the Soul, and the other program I do, Spirit in Action, for 18 and a half years. And so I've got many hundreds and even thousands of people I've talked to making great music, doing good world healing work. So come to northernspiritradio.org, find those links to those people. So you, when you want to find Nick Wojtek, if you can't remember F-O-Y-T-I-K, you can at least find it via northernspiritradio.org. Also on the site, there's a place to comment on our programs. Please let us know what you're thinking. Give us your opinion about who we should be interviewing. Help us find the people who are doing good in this world and connect us up. So leave a comment when you visit. And if you want to support us, there's a place to donate on our site. You can do it directly. You can do it through PayPal. You can do it on Facebook. We do need your help, because to make this work sustainable, we need your donations. And please also support all of the community radio stations across the U.S. Right now, there's some 35 of them who are carrying our programs. Please support them with your work, because they're working on a shoestring, and without your help, some really important source of news and music in the world will go down. Please support them. Again, Nick Wojtek is here. We just listened to the song, It's Not the Way It Should Be, from About Time. I'm going to rush us into a couple more songs so we get them all in. What's up next?
Don't Let It Ever Get You Down.
This one, Nick, is one of the ones where I ask whether you're an optimist or a pessimist. It seems to me that you are at least trying to be an optimist in this song, and encouraging others to do the same, of course.
Yeah. So there's it's not the happiest tune. It's a pandemic tune. I was sitting around during 2020, and it was probably early around this time of year. Well, this time of year it all started, but maybe in a couple of weeks, like early April, I was probably sitting around and I was just thinking about all the effect that everything was going to have, kind of matching it with, if it's anything reassuring, maybe like just the human spirit to drive on and push on. I mean, everybody's bumped into those people. I mean, you get to the point where, and everybody is one of those people. You get to a point in this world where you're old battle-tested warrior, you know, more or less. You go through the things and life throws you stuff, you know. You got to either dodge it, deflect it, or figure out how to react to it and keep on going.
The other thing that we should say about this song before we get started with it is that there's a lot of music going on in here. This is where, when I listened to this song, I said, my God, that guy loves his guitar. His guitar and him talk back and forth. And I just feel the dance and the connection and doing the long journey along with your guitar in this song. I was also wondering if there was some Grateful Dead influence coming in on this one, the length of the song particularly.
Yeah, well, I mean, I listen to jazz and Grateful Dead and Fish and bands and styles of music that elongate the song, where there really isn't. I like the idea of stepping outside of time and space and playing stuff for longer amounts of time. I listen to, generally, it would be called Sufi music. It can derive from several places, but notable Sufi musicians are guys like Ravi Shankar, Ali Akbar Khan, and a few other folks like that. You know, I kind of use them as like influences from time to time. The song has a really, especially as it gets towards the end, it has a very, just like a drone-ish quality to it. that really works in like either like Delta music. It also really works well in Sufi music, is generally there's a drone in the background. There's not like, they're not playing over chord progressions or anything like that. And with that simple beat, a repetitive beat, you know, and some familiar lines, you know, the music can deepen in time with repetition, repetition of the bars. I just kind of got into it a little bit down in my basement studio here, playing those lines, and it just kind of kept getting deeper. So I just kept it long. I was planning on like maybe fading it out or something, but it got towards the end and I actually hit the last note and I was like, wow, I kind of hit it on time and everything. So it just kind of happened that way.
So we've got a journey of music, but also a journey of spirit here in terms of reaching out, supporting, encouraging, helping people have the strength to face the tough situations. It's a song by Nick Foytik, website nickfoytik.com, F-O-Y-T-I-K. The song is Don't Ever Let It Get You Down.
Dirty clothes, boots covered in mud, because the sidewalk was closed. He makes his way to the bar through the cigarette smoke. Says there's some comfort in the darkness. You get to be the light where sunshine never goes. Yeah, this is his place. And the folks here are his friends. If you ask him how he keeps a smile after all those years of barely getting by, he says, don't ever let it bring you down. No, don't ever let it bring you down. No, don't ever let it bring you down. No. Don't ever let it bring you down, no. Out at the crowd, to the faces that were there, all out to see their loved ones performing on the square. And out of all those faces, she can't find one she knows. But the lights go up, it's time for the show. her home. She don't care if nobody shows. Now she packs her car and looks around. She whispers to herself as she leaves town. Don't ever let it bring you down, no. 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 Thank you.
As Nick Wojtek sings, don't ever let it get you down. It's about keeping your head up through the hard times, through the blues. Some people could take blues as a way to be down in the gutter, but blues is actually about rising up from the gutter. At least that's my take on it.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's songs on the human condition designed to uplift. A lot of the ideas initially taken in blues and early jazz were taken out of the church. A lot of it is taking the spiritual music and moving it into the nighttime. And with that comes more nighttime lyrics, of course. But yeah, generally made to pick one up.
Did you make all of that music yourself? There's one thing I've been meaning to ask you is when you perform out, you perform sometimes with the band, right? The Nick Wojtek band, which I take is more than just you. And I also saw you performing with Nick Wojtek and friends. I don't know how much you go beyond just Nick Wojtek.
I play in a couple other things as well, but that's the stuff I do the legwork on. So that's the stuff I work and advertise on. The band is, right now, it's a three-piece.
Who is the band?
So I have Bob Wheelahan playing bass, and I have Derek Biederman playing drums. On the album, I had Levi Felling playing some drum tracks. I played some drum stuff myself, but if it sounds like a drum kit on the album, that's Levi Felling playing it. He played a few songs.
What I was wondering about is in Don't Ever Let It Get You Down, I realize you can play tracks with yourself, right? You can play different parts. I was wondering if that was someone else in there interfacing their guitar and bass and such with yours.
That was all me, the whole thing. It was a lot of tracking. But yeah, I did that all by myself.
Well, let's get in one more song for your Song of the Soul. How are we going to conclude it, Nick?
Well, we're going to conclude it with a tune I wrote called I'd Never Known.
Why this song? Why is this part of your Song of the Soul?
Well, I put it at the end here because it's a positive song. It's a love song. It's about my partner, Amy. We've been together for quite a while now. It was a song I was just kind of reflecting about when we met and kind of the condition my life was in. I wasn't in the best place. But, you know, I included it in is just because songs about like perseverance, that there's a little bit of darkness and everything else. But this was a little bit of the light. May not always happen exactly this way, but something that happens that's right at the right time. Maybe not be as big as like finding somebody you're going to spend the rest of your life with, but there are things that happen along the way. If you're tuned to them, you can find the right stuff. You know, you can find the right things, and certain things just kind of happen at the right time, just kind of keep you going and keep you moving. So that's kind of what it's about. Reflecting on my time and who I ran into at the time.
If we asked Amy what one of your best qualities is, what do you think she'd say?
Oh boy.
I want you to quiz her about this after this interview, right? What would Amy say one of your best qualities is?
She might say something along the lines of a certain amount of patience I have. There's been a few times where, like, you know, something's happened and I'm really good at troubleshooting. You know, I used to work in a kitchen. You know, those are very fast-paced environments. I've spent some time running sound. If you're ever like a few minutes behind running sound and like half of the speakers you plug in don't work, you're going to have to realize to be patient and troubleshoot. You know, same thing when you're playing a gig. You got to exuberate some patience in those situations. So that might be one of the things that she might say is one of my stronger traits that she might like about me, I guess.
What would you say is one of her best qualities?
She's extremely supportive. Well, just this last weekend, she went to go visit some family and I was home working on some music. And one of the first things we ended up talking about is how we can create, it's not like it's a bad environment, but an even more conducive environment towards creation and stuff at the house. You know, like, how can I go off on writing? It's not like I haven't written songs when she's around, but she wanted to know what she could do to make it easier and better and stuff like that. So very supportive, extremely supportive.
She sounds like a wonderful person, and I hope to meet her one day. We're not that far apart, even though we're not in the same room right now. We can run into each other easily, and I hope to do that soon. So, folks, we're going to end with one last song from Nick Wojtek. NickWojtek.com is his website. Find the link on NordenSpiritRadio.org. We're going to end with I'd Never Known. Thanks so much, Nick, for joining me today for Song of the Soul.
Thanks again for having me.
Here it is. I've Never Known. We'll see you next week for Song of the Soul. Thank you.
was all alone. Hard times came, lost all I own. Nowhere in this world I could call my home. Miles I've traveled, years I've roamed, and what I've missed I've never known. Till I've seen your face, now I feel at place.
Theme music for Song of the Soul is by Chris Williamson, and it is called Song of the Soul. Check out all things Song of the Soul on northernspiritradio.org. Guests, links, stations, and a place for your feedback, suggestions, and support. Send your Songs of the Soul to me, Mark Helpsmeet, via the info on our website, and join us weekly for Song of the Soul.